إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention and grant peace of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to forgive us our sins and pardon us for our shortcomings, and to make this particular dars and the other durus that we conduct sincere for his sake and means of protection from the hellfire and admittance to Jannah. Brothers in Islam, continuing with the discussion in refuting those who claim that seeking assistance from the dead is not shirk, and that it is something that is Islamically lawful. They call it tawassul or other names in order to make legal what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the most forbidden thing in the world. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive that you shall ascribe or associate partners in worship with Him, but He forgives whatever is lesser than that to whomever He wills. So anyone who dies in the state of shirk, then فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلْظَالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. Allah has made Jannah forbidden for them, and their abode will be the hellfire, and the wrongdoers will have no one to aid. No one to aid them, no one to assist them in the times of difficulties. طيب. Who can give us one example given by the Shaykh in order to refute those who say, listen, the disbelievers of Quraysh, they didn't say La ilaha illallah, they didn't say Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they didn't establish the salah, they didn't pay the zakah, right? They didn't do any of these things. But we do, the mushriks of today, but we do all that. My name is Muhammad, my father's name is Abdurrahman, I pray, I fast, I say the shahada. How are you saying that I am a mushrik like the mushrikeen of Quraysh? Right, this is their argument. And the Shaykh has been refuting that argument gradually, one example after the other. Who can remind us of one example that was used in our last session to prove to them that, listen, many people before you did the same thing. They declared the Shahada, they performed Hajj, and they prayed and they fasted, but they were also considered to be disbelievers because of something they did. Do you remember anything? Abraham?
We are
Mm. No, but we want an example. We mentioned some historical examples, events that took place that prove that the Muslims treated particular individuals as non-Muslims after them, you know, doing something that disturbed their sound belief system. أيوه أحسن جزاك الله خير. Those individuals that took over Egypt and Morocco, what was their name? Aywa, Banu Ubayd al-Qaddah. They claimed that it is lawful for you to combine two sisters in marriage. And Allah has said in the Quran that among those who are unlawful for you to marry is the sister of your wife. If you have a wife, you're not allowed simultaneously to marry your sister. Simultaneously. Now these people, although they called the adhan, performed the salah, did everything that the Muslims are supposed to do, but they came and said, they said, "Ma fi mushkila. You want to marry two sisters at the same time? Go ahead." How did the Muslims treat them? They treated them as kuffar, because they are denying the book of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, you cannot. And then someone says, you know, you can. How are you a believer if you're going to belie the Quran? If you're going to deny the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're not doing it out of, pay attention, that maybe some of you will think, okay, every time I sin, meaning I'm a kafir, so Somebody asked me that last night.
No.
When you say, let's say you know smoking is haram.
Don't believe those who say it's makruh.
You smoke. And then somebody advises you, say, Akhi, you know, leave alone this cigarette. What does the person do? Usually say, I know. Make dua for me. Huh? We say, this person is rejecting what Allah has said. Allah says, لَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill yourself. He's killing himself. But he's not saying that smoking is halal. You see what I'm saying? So these people not say like, Wallah, I'm so weak, I must marry my wife's sister. You know, I know it's haram, but for whatever reason, I'm not going to be able to, abide by the rules. We say, okay, he's a sinful individual. But when someone comes and says it's halal, when Allah said it's haram, not out of weakness, not out of any reason, they just change in the law of Allah, then this is an example of disbelief. And we mentioned many others. The Prophet ﷺ, his companions, they fought against Banu Hanifa, and we made this distinction between Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi and Banu Hanifa, those who accepted Musaylama as a prophet. Musaylama came and said, I'm a prophet. Also after the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and they accepted him, although they were performing the rituals of Islam. The Sahaba declared him to be kuffar, and they fought against him. Because of what? Because they said they raised one man, they raised him to the level of prophethood. So what about these mushriks who raised a dead person to the level of Allah? They're not going to think. The Sahaba considered a group of people who elevated one man to the status of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ only as a human being, and they were declared kuffar by the Sahaba, and they fought against them. Then someone would make a dead person in the grave equal to Allah, and he would remain a Muslim? SubhanAllah, this is amazing. So obviously not, but they will try to give you the shubha and say, but I say la ilaha illallah. How are you going to say that I'm a mushrik? You say like that. Many people before you said la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they did some things that nullified that particular statement, and so it becomes void. Just if you came to the masjid right now and you prayed Salatul Isha, and let's say you have at home a statue of Buddha, a'udhu billah, I'm sure nobody does, but if you went home to the statue of Buddha and you prayed two rak'ah for Buddha, do you think that your salah over here is going to benefit you? What will happen to your Islam? Your whole Islam is gone. Your salah is gone, your shahad is gone, your zakat, everything is gone. Unless you repent to Allah from the shirk and you become a Muslim again. But once you worship others with Allah, then you don't, the shahada is of no value. So is that clear? So you will not have any misconceptions. طيب. How else can we refute them? These were some examples, and there are more ways. وَيُقَالُ أَيْضًا الَّذِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ مَا قَالُوا وَقَدْ قَالُوا كَلِمَةَ الْكُفْرِ وَكَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ. In Surah Al-Tawbah, verse 74, Allah says regarding a group of individuals, and they swear by Allah that they did not say anything bad. But Allah says, وَلَقَدْ قَالُوا كَلِمَةَ الْكُفْرِ. But they said the statement of disbelief. And Allah says, وَكَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. And they disbelieve after their Islam. Listen, I'm sure you know some Arabic. وَكَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ. They disbelieve after their Islam. So Allah in the Quran told us that someone can become a kafir after being a Muslim. Right or wrong? We said in the books of fiqh, there's a chapter called Bab al-Riddah, the book of apostasy, when someone leaves Islam after being a Muslim and the ruling is concerning them. So this is something established in the deen. أَمَا سَمِعْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ كَفَّرَهُمْ بِكَلِمَةٍ مَعْ كَوْنِهِمْ فِي زَمَنِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُجَاهِدُونَ مَعَهُ وَيُصَلُّونَ مَعَهُ وَيُزَكُّونَ وَيَحُجُّونَ وَيُوَحِّدُونَ. He says, have you not heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared them to be disbelievers because of one word that they said, كَلِمَةٍ وَقَدْ قَالُوا كَلِمَةَ الْكُفْرِ. One word of kufr they said, Allah called them disbelievers. Although they were in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they used to do jihad with him, and they used to pray with him, and pay zakah with him, and they used to do hajj with him, and tawheed to some extent. They didn't worship idols in a sense, but
but they said a statement of kufr. These are similar to the other ones. وَكَذَلِكَ الَّذِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Also Surah At-Tawbah verses 65 and 66 say, was it about Allah, His signs or verses and His messenger that you used to mock? Do not apologize. You have disbelieved after your iman. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. You have disbelieved after your iman. One ayah, كَفَرْتُمْ وَكَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ. They disbelieved after their Islam. Here, كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. You disbelieved after your iman. All this is proving to you that you need to stay in Islam. After Allah guides you to Islam, you must do some work to remain within Islam. This is why many of the ulama, some of them of course the madhahib differ, consider the one who abandons the salah, who doesn't pray, to be a kafir. Because of the many ayat in the Quran and many ahadith, the scholars have differed extensively, but if you really read the ayat in the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet, you will lean towards the opinion that the one who abandons the salah out of laziness cannot be considered to be a Muslim. Because of the too many ayat that is not the time to elaborate on, but just to give you an example, Allah says, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ. Allah says, so they were succeeded by a group of people. أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ, they abandoned the prayer. وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ, and they followed their desires. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا, verily they will receive a punishment, which is Jahannam. إِلَّا, except, مَنْ تَابَ, what is تَابَ? What is تَابَ? Repent. وَآمَن, إِيمَان. For you to be, to require, for Allah to require إِيمَان again, meaning إِيمَان was missing when the salah was abandoned. مَا سَلَكُكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. What made you enter Saqar, Jahannam? The first thing they said, we were not among those who used to pray. And right, anyway, this is an extensive discussion. But once you become a Muslim, akhi, you must do things to remain a Muslim. That's why you cannot take it easy. You cannot, wallah, lie on your back, say, inshallah, I'm going to die as a big believer, I'm going straight to Jannah. This is not the attitude of the Prophet ﷺ, who used to say, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. This is the messenger of Allah, supplicating to Allah, oh Allah, the one who turns your hearts over, keep my heart firm on your deen. Don't make me deviate from Islam. Who? The messenger of Allah, the one who brought Islam. So what about me and you? Right? The Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, who were giving glad tidings of Jannah. They were informed that you're going to Jannah. And all day they cry and they weep and they strive for the sake of Allah and they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of them felt secure, wallah, that he's going to Jannah because of the circumstances that they were in. So if this is how they used to be, then we should be in even more severe position concerning that. But nowadays it's the other way around. We think, khalas, Allah guided you to Islam, meaning you remain Muslim. Akhi, people leave Islam. People leave Islam either by committing shirk, by making a statement, by abandoning the salah, or many other ways. So you must try for Allah to preserve you. And Allah promised that He will not waste our iman. But you have to do some effort. Don't depend on, you know, on everything else. You must depend on yourself after depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and exert yourself to the best of your ability for Allah to preserve your deen and keep you on the steadfast and keep you steadfast on the straight path. طيب, what is the story of these people anyways? فَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ صَرَّحَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ وَهُمْ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي غَزْوَةِ تَبُوكَ قَالُوا كَلِمَةً ذَكَرُوا أَنَّهُمْ قَالُوهَا عَلَى وَجْهِ الْمَزْحِ. Those individuals that Allah declared their kufr after their iman, they were with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in the expedition of Tabuk. And everybody knows Tabuk. Now it's an air, it's a place, and this is where the expedition took place. They said a word that they mentioned that they were only saying it in jest. Yani just joking, just a joke, it's not serious.
And maybe some of you know the incident. Who knows the incident? Do you know what they said? Have anyone come across this incident? What was it that they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared this kufr against them and revealed this ayah? I'll tell you, these were some of the munafiqeen. They were in the back of the caravan, in the back of the expedition. And while they were traveling there, they wanted to spend some time, you know, talking on the way, just to waste time. So they said, we have never seen anyone like our Qurra. Qurra, those who recite the Quran, the memorizers, they didn't call them Qurra back then. Qurra, those who recited the Quran. He said, we've never seen anything like that. More chicken, more afraid at the time of confrontation, and bigger stomachs than them. Yani, they said that they love to eat, all they love to do is eat, and when it comes, when the time comes for confrontation with the enemy, they are the most cowardly people. Now, they said this amongst each other. The revelation came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning that event that took place in the back. And when he confronted them alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding that statement of theirs, they said, we were only joking. Then Allah said, يَقُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا مَا اتَّخَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Say, was it Allah, His verses and His messenger that you were mocking? Don't apologize, you have misbelieved after Iman. Because of a statement that they said, that they were saying it out of just, out of joking. Then what about the one who willingly worships a dead person? Not because he's joking, nothing like that. If a joke got them out of Islam, what about the one who truly believes that this dead person can benefit him or harm him besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This becomes aqidah. This is no longer something you say, oh, because this is ingrained in your belief system. And this is the epitome of shirk. This is what shirk is. This is what Islam came to demolish. That mentality that these people can help us get to Allah, as it was the case of the mushrikeen. So the idea is clear. It makes sense to you, doesn't it? Because Allah made the truth powerful. When you hear the truth, it just makes sense if you are clean and pure inside. If you're wicked, a'udhu billah, then the truth is not appealing to you. Falsehood is more appealing to that individual. But so they don't understand. Anywho, فَتَأَمَّلْ هَذِي الشُّبْهَةِ. So pay attention to this doubtful matter. وَهِيَ قَوْلُهُمْ تُكَفِّرُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أُنَاسًا يَشْهَدُونَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَيَصُومُونَ وَيَصُومُونَ ثُمَّ تَأَمَّلْ جَوَابُهَا فَإِنَّهُ جَوَابَهَا فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَنْفَعِ مَا فِي هَذِهِ الْأَوْرَاقِ. So pay attention now, how these mushrikeen of today, they will say, are you saying that I'm a kafir, although I declare the shahada, and I pray and I fast? And then look at what the answer was given earlier. Huh? Because this is one of the most beneficial things that you find in this book. Really, that strong reputation. So anyone who comes and tells you, Akhi, but I say the shahada, and you say I'm a kafir, then you give him, excuse me. This is what happened with Banu Hanifa, and this is what happened with these munafiqeen. These are examples where people were saying La ilaha illallah, and they were considered to be kuffar. So what makes you different? What makes you different? You're not any different. Rather, you're worse. You're worse than they are, because some of their statements were a statement with a gun. Yours is aqidah in your heart. That this Mawlana, I don't know who, Badawi or Abdul Qadir Jilani or some other dead person, that Wallah, he can benefit you or harm you besides Allah. Or even the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where you know the people believe that he is currently aiding them, so they do istighatha with the Messenger of Allah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is all shirk. This is all shirk the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to demolish. When someone said to him, Ma sha Allah wa shaykh, whatever Allah wills and you will. He said, أَجْعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِجْدًا. Did you make me equal to Allah? Say whatever Allah wills only. That's it. Don't. He closed all the doors, alayhi salatu wasalam, for that. Before he died, Aisha said, just before he died, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ. May Allah curse the Jews and the Christians. They took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. And Aisha said, he was saying that to yuhadhdhiru min fi'li. He was saying that to warning the people. He was afraid, alayhi salatu wasalam, that this would happen to him. That that they will do the same thing to him. So he reminded before he died, may Allah curse the Jews and the Christians. Whenever a prophet will die, they will make his grave as a place of worship. All this is trying to close the door for shirk. And these so-called brothers of ours have fallen into that very same shirk. That's why it's my obligation and yours to educate them. When you go back home, when I go back to my country, I have them. We have them in almost every Muslim country in the world. You will not find an exception to that rule. It's our obligation to educate these people. Tell them this is shirk. And call them back to Islam. Give them da'wah to Islam. If they respond, alhamdulillah. If they don't respond, then you have fulfilled your obligation. You did not abandon your people and leave them in a state of shirk. Allah sent the Prophet from his people. Because it's closer for them to accept from you. When a foreigner comes, they may think that he's bringing his own idea. When it's your own people, there's more receptive, they're more receptive, usually, not all the time. Unless it's a Westerner, then people would love to hear a Westerner over somebody else nowadays. So if a brother who's like from Pakistan or an Arab gives a lecture about Islam to a bunch of non-Muslims, maybe one or two people will accept Islam after the lecture. Although it was very convincing. Less information given by an American, and half of the people will get up and embrace Islam. It's all like an American. It's given a doubt. If he embraces that, then I'm... You know, people have a misconception now. They are stuck on nationalities and so on and so forth. They don't really pay attention to the truth. So that's an exception to the rule. Otherwise, you'd be more, you will accept more somebody from your own background. You know, because, you know, there's this kind of connection between the people of the same tribe or the same country. طيب. ومن الدليل على ذلك أيضا ما حكى الله عن بني إسرائيل مع إسلامهم وعلمهم وصلاحهم أنهم قالوا لموسى اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. Another evidence that we have against them is by saying the mentioning the story which Allah narrated concerning the children of Israel. Okay? Although they were submitted to Allah, they had knowledge and they had rectitude. They were righteous to some extent. They said to Musa, after they passed, after Allah saved them from Fir'aun, and they went on to the other side of the ocean, and they were moving along with Musa alayhi salam, they went by some people who were worshipping a calf. And they told them, make us a god, like they have a god. You know, they have this idol, we want one like that. We want something like that. وَقَوْلُ أُنَاسِ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ. Some of the companions said to the Messenger of Allah, اجعل لنا ذات أنواط. فحلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن هذا مثل قول بني إسرائيل موسى اجعل لنا آلهة. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was with his companions. The Mushrikeen had a tree called ذات أنواط. That tree was used for them to hang their weapons. They used to hang their weapons on this particular tree. طيب. The Messenger of Allah was with his companions in one of the expeditions. So they told him, O Messenger of Allah, make us a tree like they have a tree. Make us that Allah. We want a tree so we can hang our weapons on it like the Mushrikeen hang their weapons. The Prophet became angry. He told them, O Allah, this statement of yours is similar to the statement of the people of Musa when they told him, make us a god like they have a god. Notice now how the Prophet reacted. He reprimanded them immediately. He didn't take it lightly. Once they requested something, the Mushrikeen used to seek like some sort of barakah from hanging their weapons on the street. So the Prophet sent the Sahaba trying to go in his direction. The Sahaba, you know how righteous they were, but they didn't have knowledge about this particular matter. The Prophet على طول educated them. He said, well, this statement of yours is very similar to the statement of Bani Israel. When they said to Musa, اجعل لنا آلهة كما لهم آلهة. اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. Make us a god and they have a god. ولكن المشركين شبهة يدلون بها عند هذه القصة. But the Mushrikeen of today, they have some doubt that they doubt whenever you quote this particular story. وهي أنهم يقولون إن بني إسرائيل لم يكفروا بذلك. They say, the children of Israel did not become disbelievers by merely asking Musa to give them a god. When they asked for a god, that request did not entail disbelief, yet it was only a request. وكذلك الذين قالوا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اجعل لنا ذات أنواط. not become disbelievers either. فالجواب أن تقول so they say okay so what's the problem how are you quoting the story it doesn't prove anything. فالجواب أن تقول إن بني إسرائيل لم يفعلوا وكذلك الذين سألوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يفعلوا. Correct. Those who asked Musa did not become disbelievers, nor did the Sahaba when they asked the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولا خلاف في أن بني إسرائيل لم يفعلوا ذلك ولو فعلوا ذلك لكفروا. But no one will dispute that they didn't. The Bani Israel didn't do it. But had they done it, had they worshipped the Kaaba, had they worshipped that other ilah, would they become disbelievers or not? They would come disbelievers. Nobody disputes that. وكذلك لا خلاف أن الذين نهاهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو لم يطيعوا واتخذوا ذات الأنواط بعد نهيه لكفروا. Similarly, if the Sahaba had disregarded the prohibition by the Prophet Muhammad and they insisted on taking that tree, they would have disbelieved. So it's the same thing. وَهَذَا هُوَ مَطْلُوبٌ. This is what is intended. Whether it took place or not is irrelevant. It's the fact that they have the same tendency. The same tendency was there. ولكن هذه القصة تفيد أن المسلم بل العالم قد يقع في أنواع من الشرك لا ينتهي عنها. What is the benefit of the story is that the believer, is the Muslim, even the scholar, may fall into some kind of shirk without even knowing. These were the Sahaba, and these were the most knowledgeable of people. But because they had no particular knowledge about that, of course, after the Prophet ﷺ prohibited them, then that wasn't the case anymore. And Umar رضي الله عنه, when he seen the people, the shajara of the bay'ah, when he seen the pledge, where the Sahaba took pledge, when he seen the people trying to make a special thing out of the shajara, the tree, Umar cut it off. Umar cut the tree to close the door for the people who are not trying to seek barakah from that particular tree because it was virtuous with the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم his companion. So the Sahaba understood from that moment on that you don't get attached to anything, even al-Hajar al-Aswad in Kaaba. When Umar رضي الله عنه kissed it, what did he say? He said, Wallahi, I know you are nothing but a stone that you do not benefit nor do you harm. And had I not seen the Messenger of Allah kiss you, I would have kissed you. It's only ibadah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the stone itself, it doesn't benefit you, it doesn't harm you. If this is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed, then what about the sitar of the Kaaba? The clothing, the garment that they were sewing down street. You think this is going to benefit you? So the people try to wipe on it, wipe their face and wipe their families. And people go to Maqam Ibrahim and they try to wipe. This is all shirk. This is all, what are you doing? The Kaaba, the Prophet ﷺ wanted to destroy the Kaaba. He told Aisha, had your people not been recent in Islam, I would have destroyed the Kaaba and rebuilt it according to the way of Ibrahim. Meaning the stone was not of any significance. The hajar was not important. It's the idea that you're worshipping Allah in this virtuous place. That's why from before the end of time, a man will come and he will destroy the Kaaba. This Kaaba will be destroyed stone by stone by an Ethiopian. As it was mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he will be skinny. He will come and destroy the Kaaba. This is sahih. Before the day of judgment. So if the Kaaba was any special in this sense, where you worship it, or you think that it's going to be a barakah for you, then Allah would not allow this to happen to the Kaaba. And the Prophet ﷺ would have not had this particular intention back at the time of this time, alayhi salatu wasalam. So ya akhi, when we do Kaaba, yes, it's a place that Allah has magnified. It's a place that Allah has made, virtuous. So, but it's that virtuous for Allah. That magnification that you do is for Allah. That greatness that should be in your heart is for Allah. Not for the construction itself. Not for the fabric, not for the area around. It's only means to make you magnify Allah, not the creation of Allah. Is that clear? Because some people have a misconception about that. Tayyib. So the Muslim, the believer, may fall into shirk without knowing. So that's why you need to learn. Know what are the doors of shirk so you will not enter there. فَتُفِيدُ تَعَلُّمُ وَالتَّحَرُّمُ. It's benefit the story that you should be cautious and you should seek beneficial knowledge. وَمَعْرِفَةَ أَنَّ قَوْلِ الْجَاهِلِ التَّوْحِيدِ فَإِنَّا إِنَّ هَذَا مِنْ أَكْبَرِ الْجَاهِلِ وَمَكَائِدِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And also, the statement of the ignorant who says, we know Tawheed, we understand Tawheed, is actually ignorance, major ignorance, and from the traps of the shaitan. The people who say, wallah, you can learn Tawheed in 10 minutes. You cannot. Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires detailed, not just as general information, which is the fact that only Allah deserves to be worshipped, that's a given. That doesn't require a genius to figure it out. But afterwards, you must be aware of the subtleties of Tawheed and the subtleties of shirk. That is the little things that you almost don't pay attention to them. Otherwise you may fall into shirk, or you may not really be establishing Tawheed in the ultimate sense. And so all this we need knowledge concerning. وأيضا أن المسلم مشتهد إذا تكلم بكلام كفر وهو لا يدري فنبه على ذلك وتاب من سعته أنه لا يكفر. Also, if a Muslim who is exerting his knowledge said a statement that may entail disbelief, but he doesn't know and he was notified immediately and he repents, then he does not become a disbeliever, as it happened with the Sahaba. كما فعل بنو إسرائيل, as the children of Israel did, والذين سألوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and those who asked the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وتفيد أيضا أنه لو لم يكفر فإنه يغلظ عليه الكلام تغليظا شديدا كما فعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Similarly, if they do not become disbelievers, you must be stern in your advice. You reprimand them in a very, you know, strict manner, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did. He didn't tell them, don't ask for that again, you know, this was not a good request. He told them, what you said is very similar to what the people of Musa said. This is the same. So that was tough, because in accusing them that they're asking for shirk, alayhi salatu wasalam, in order to warn them. So when someone says something of this nature, then you become a little stern in your speech to show them the dangers of that. You know, the dangers of attributing something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or worshipping others with Allah jalla jalaluhu wa taqaddasa tasma'u. طيب. ولهم شبهة أخرى يقولون إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنكر على أسامة قتل من قال لا إله إلا الله وقال أقتلته بعدما قال لا إله إلا الله. They have another doubt that they cast. They say the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم reprimanded أسامة for killing a person who said La ilaha illallah. And you know the story. It was jihad. The Muslims were fighting with the disbelievers. This kafir had killed many of the Muslims. And so when Usama reached him and he was about to chop off his head, this man said La ilaha illallah. Trying to what? Trying to save his neck. I tried to save his neck. Suddenly he believed. But you will learn a lesson from this particular story. طيب. The Prophet ﷺ reprimanded him and he told him, did you kill him after he said La ilaha illallah? It's not a joke. You will think that he deserves it, right? And that's what Usama thought. This is what me and you will think. But still, to show you the value of La ilaha illallah. But we will see exactly what is intended. The Prophet ﷺ said, did you say that? Did you kill him after he said La ilaha illallah? Usama said, he continued to say this to me. I continued to explain and he continued to tell me, did you kill him? After he said La ilaha illallah, until I wish that I had not embraced Islam before that day. Meaning, I wish that my Islam came afterwards, before this incident took place. Because he became worried about that particular event and what took place. طيب. وكذلك قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يقولوا لا إله إلا الله. I was commanded to, the Prophet said, I was commanded to fight the people until they say, La ilaha illallah. Tell this to the dua who deny all of this. And I mentioned this before, you hear them on TV, these are the people that most commonly come on TV. Not everybody that comes on TV is of this caliber, but very often those who come on TV are the ones who twist the deen of Allah in order to please the kafir. And one of the people who were debating a kafir, a Christian, concerning Islamic Christianity, this hadith is in Bukhari, by the way. When the kafir quoted this to the Muslim, he told them, your messenger said, I was commanded, because they were dealing with terrorism. He said, your messenger said that you were commanded, he was commanded to fight the people of Islam, they say, La ilaha illallah. And this hadith is in Bukhari. The man told them, I don't believe it. Bukhari, you know, narration, this is the Quran. The Quran says, you know, La ikraha fi al-deen, no compulsion to religion. So he denied the hadith in Bukhari. He knows in the depth of his heart. You cannot deny that. You cannot deny this particular hadith. You cannot reject the reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down. But in order to please some character, thinking he's going to win them over, which he didn't, he said something that is not agreement to the truth. So we must keep it real. This is part of the deen of Islam. But it has guidelines. Islam does not allow the killing of women, and the killing of children, and the killing of the elderly, and the blowing up of homes and houses and factories, and the burning of trees, and the killing of animals. All these are not allowed in Islam. They're not allowed. But when men get against men on the battlefield, then this is what Islam allows. Now, no nation today observes these rules. No nation cares about women, children, they kill everything that comes along their way. So actually, the real terrorists are the rest of the world, and not the Muslims. Because they're fighting for the dunya, for world, for gain, for material, and you're fighting for the sake of Allah. You want Jannah, they want the dunya. They don't follow any guidelines that are reasonable. But we do. We have concern about the human beings. They are inhumane. They don't care who gets killed in the way. Just look at Palestine. What happened in Palestine? Not that long ago. You remember the TV. Who was being killed? It was the women and the children. So they lie. They do this, and then they accuse us of terrorism, and Allah knows that they are the terrorists. So don't believe the hype, and don't lie, and say, Wallah, there's no jihad in Islam. Islam is peace. Islam is peace. We say Islam is not peace, Habibi. Peace is as-salam. As-salamu alaykum, peace be upon you. Is Islam and salam the same? They're not the same. Islam is not salam, so you say Islam is peace. Islam is submission to Allah. And part of the submission to Allah is accepting jihad, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made as part of the deen. That's Islam. Peace is something that we seek if it is available and affordable, and we are in a position where we can utilize peace. Otherwise, then we have something much more important to seek, but our condition today does not allow us to go after it, because, you know, we're not the greatest Muslims in the world. Compared to the previous generations, we are a little bit tired and somewhat lousy. So until we go back, inshallah, to our strength, our implementation of the deen, our practicing of Islam, and our children follow our footsteps, then and only then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change our condition. Until then, we will be in the same position. Everybody just poking us and criticizing us and putting us down, and we just continue to complain to the United Nations, thinking that somebody's going to come and help us. Wallah, they will not help us. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will help us when we help His deen. But, you know, that means that me and you should do some work instead of, you know, just wasting much time. طيب وأحاديث الأخرى في الدفع عن من قال. Other narrations that mention that whatever you say, what is the shahid? I was commanded to fight the people until they say La ilaha illallah. When they say it, halas. Other narrations which indicate that upon saying it, this person is to be left alone. وَمُرَادِ هَؤُلَاءِ الْجَهَلَةِ هَؤُلَاءِ الْجَهَلَةِ أَنَّ مَنْ قَالَهَا لَا يَكْفُرُ. What are they intending? They say that if you say La ilaha illallah, you cannot be a kafir. وَلَوْ فَعَلَ مَا فَعَلَ وَلَا يُقْتَلْ وَلَوْ فَعَلَ مَا فَعَلَ. And he is not to be killed. It doesn't matter what you do. You see what I'm saying? Now, we have been refuting the mushrikeen. They will come and tell you, listen, the Prophet ﷺ told Usama, you killed the man after you said La ilaha illallah. Meaning, after you say La ilaha illallah, no kidding, no disbelief. خلاص, once you say it, you're done. Huh? They will use that against you to say that you are accusing me of kufr and I'm saying La ilaha illallah just like the other guy. Why are you saying that I'm a kafir? Why are you saying it's okay for me to be an apostate? Although the Prophet ﷺ said, once people say La ilaha illallah, they're done. فيقال لهؤلاء المشركين الشهاد معلوم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قاتل اليهود وسباهم وهم يقولون لا إله إلا الله. It is known that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم fought against the Jews, although they used to say لا إله إلا الله. You see, the Jews predominantly, they didn't have any other gods. They had Tawheed sound in terms of uluhiyya, but they had problems with asma and sifat. They said, يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَ. The hand of Allah is tight, meaning Allah does not spare. قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءُ. Allah is poor and we are rich. So the Jews made some outrageous statements against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made them kuffar, but it wasn't that So they said, لا إله إلا الله. وأن أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قاتلوا بني حنيفة. Again, the أصحاب, the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they fought against بنو حنيفة. And they said, لا إله إلا الله. يشهدون وهم يشهدون أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. They bear witness, the testimony of faith. ويصلون ويدعون الإسلام. They pray and they claim to be Muslim. وكذلك الذين حرقهم علي بن أبي طالب. Also those who علي رضي الله عنه burned. Remember them. We dealt with them last week. وهؤلاء الجهلة مقرون أن من أنكر البعث كفر وقتل ولو قال لا إله إلا الله. And these ignorant مشركين, they will admit that if someone was to deny resurrection, he becomes a disbeliever and he is to be killed. Although he says, لا إله إلا الله. You say, لا إله إلا الله, but there's no قيامة. There's no يوم القيامة. No بعث. What do you say? You're not a believer anymore. Your لا إله إلا الله has been nullified. ولو قال لا إله إلا الله وأن من جحد شيئا من أركان الإسلام كفر وقتل ولو قال لا إله إلا الله. Whoever denies one of the pillars of Islam, he is a disbeliever and he is to be exterminated even if he says لا إله إلا الله. فكيف لا تنفعه إذا جحد شيئا من الفروع وتنفعه إذا جحد التوحيد الذي هو أصل دين الرسل ورأسه. So how will it benefit them then if they deny لا إله إلا الله, will not benefit them if they deny one of the pillars of Islam like Hajj? Then how do you expect that to benefit them when they deny Tawheed, which is the foundation of the religion of the messengers and its head? ولكن أعداء الله ما فهموا معنى الأحاديث. But the enemies of Allah do not understand the meanings of these narrations. They don't know what is intended by the narration. They read the narration, it says, أَقَتَلْتَهُ بَعْدَ أَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. You killed him after he said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. See, then you cannot do this. But you have to look at Islam in totality. You don't look at one hadith and you say, Wallah, this is it. The deen of Islam is vast. That's why you need the scholars who have knowledge of the whole deen. So when you see one angle, they show you the other angle. So this is how it was. We will postpone the rest of the discussion till next week, with Allah Azza wa Jal. We're approaching the end of this book, but not quite. Page 2, 3, 4. Around 5 more pages. So Allah musta'an, we'll try to finish them in the next 2 weeks, bi'idhnillahi Azza wa Jal. And then we'll have some other discussions at that time. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.